Hello, gorgeous souls. This is your host, Britt Contreras. I'm excited to bring to you a whole new intro so that way it is shorter and sweeter. I'm a mama of two beautiful girls, and if you listen to past episodes, you know I'm all about spiritual awakening, talking about everything motherhood related, postpartum depression, anxiety, and moving through forward in life to find your identity and soul purpose. So let's get started and talk everything mama, everything spiritual, and everything in between. This is episode 23, and today's guest is Crystal Nelson. We are going to get to know her. She's the owner and founder of Save the Milk, as well as helping many families through surrogacy. So I'm excited for you to get to know her, and please follow her afterwards. At the end of the episode, you'll be able to hear her Facebook page. And then please like and share this podcast. And thank you, thank you, thank you, beautiful souls. I'm so glad for you to join as we unite spiritual mamas and my mamas in general. So stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. I'm here on episode 23 with Hello Gorgeous Mama. Thank you for joining us. We have a guest today, Crystal Nelson, and she is the owner of Save the Milk, and she is my first guest of 2021. She's a beautiful mama of three kids, an 18, a 15, and a 7-year-old, a girl and two boys. And she's been married to her husband for 16 years. They are stronger together. They strive to be a better team. And they are definitely hustlers. Their family activities also include quads, you know, before COVID. And they moved from California to Oregon. And they grew up on the same street. They actually known each other since they were 4 and 5 years old. He used to, I guess, joke that he would go on his big wheel past her house. So I'm excited to talk about her family, as well as, of course, the reason why we're here is Save the Milk, which started in 2017, about 2018. And she built it from a breast milk community, starting with a Facebook group. And now she's also a surrogate who gives families the opportunity to start their own family. So I'm just so happy to talk with you, Crystal. Why don't we dive into Save the Milk, the reason why we're here? So before this, we were chatting a little bit, and you were telling me about how it started out in the Facebook group. Why don't you tell me a little bit again how that started?
Sure. And thank you for having me on your show.
Of course.
Really excited. So as a surrogate, I was pumping and, you know, just needed to get my own advice on tips with pumping and connecting with families that needed breast milk. And I was noticing that a lot of people were, you know, not being very truthful and honest with what they were doing with the milk and just overall shady. So I decided to create a Facebook group called Save the Milk, Breast Milk Donors and Donees. It's still out there, although I'm not running it at the moment. I was able to find these people that were not being truthful, make sure that what they were doing was not appropriate, and then post that information on the Facebook group.
Almost like an accountability group, but also making sure that moms can go to have a resource, a Facebook group, to know that they can trust this person or not to get the milk that they need for their babies.
Absolutely. So, you know, just checking that the person that they're going to be working with is not on that list.
Awesome. Okay. So you were able to do that for mom to make them find a comfortable place and outlet. So that way, because it is scary as a new mom to go into that. Did you ever have that experience when you were pumping and you were trying to get milk for your mom or for your babies that you were like, am I making enough milk? And how do I find somebody that can maybe provide milk for my baby?
Yeah. Yes. I did find myself in at least two situations where I thought I was going to be giving the milk to somebody that really needed it, when in fact later to find out that they didn't, or they resold the milk that I had donated, or you know, just shady things that would happen with the milk, and I just didn't want other people to have to go through that.
Wow, that's incredible, because I think as a mom already, you are battling so many different things that you don't know who to go to or where to go to for advice and resources, and creating that Facebook group. Did you have a lot of moms coming to you to say, wow, thank you, I really needed this group?
Yeah, you know, it's not always somebody that reaches out and says, oh my God, thank you so much. But, you know, it's having that somebody just say, I'm glad I was able to check and just make sure, or to get the support of other moms in the group and just say, hey, what are your thoughts on this particular situation? And, you know, that's what's important, is just having the same amount of, or same community members that have the same interests as you.
Right. And I think that's the key word that you said right there, community. Is you, I don't know if you know this or not, but you were also building a community of moms that could come out of this with friendships and come out of this knowing that they are in the same place. Mm-hmm. All of them are relating, because they're like all searching as a way to keep giving their baby the nutrition that the baby needs. And a lot of times that's, they want to use breast milk and they think that they might not have enough supply, and there's a lactation consultant they can go through as well, but you provided another outlet for them. So that is awesome.
Thank you.
And then also, you know, you're, like I said, I feel that it's really amazing, because I know, you know, in my own family and some of my own friends who try to want to have kids of their own, and sometimes, you know, of course, adoption could be a lot and other things could be a lot for them, and there's different options, but you are in it, like actually doing this where you're carrying a baby for somebody. Can you tell me how that began for you?
Yeah, it actually began a long, long time ago when I was pregnant, as a teenager with my own child, and I was in high school, and our life coach, teacher gave us an article to read regarding surrogacy. And back in 2001, 2002, it was still relatively new and something I had never heard about before. And the moment I finished reading that little article, I just knew that that was something that I had to do in the future. And I still get very excited telling the story, because it just, it changed my entire life. And I still have ladies that reach me, you know, high school students that I went to school with, reach me and say, I remember you telling us that you wanted to be a surrogate. So, you know, it became my first bucket list item. And when I turned 30, when I was done having my own kids, my husband had a vasectomy, it just was the time to do it. And it was, the process was amazing.
That's awesome. Do you still remember, how many families do you know that you've done surrogacy for?
So my first was started in 2014. I delivered a little girl in 2015. So that was for one family. I attempted another journey with another family in California, but unfortunately it resulted in 3 failed transfers. Mm-hmm. It was due to embryo quality, unfortunately. I did go on again to 2017, delivering 2 twin boys for a gay couple close to my home. So let's see, 2018, I did it again because I am crazy, and had a little boy for another family close to my home. And we are actually doing a sibling journey, and I am currently pregnant with a little boy that is going to be joining their family in late September.
But, you know, for, I know a lot of people out there might not understand this process because I know that, you know, I have some family members that might be like, well, don't, isn't it, I bet you get this question quite a few times of how do you keep yourself from knowing that, okay, like this is for the family and not feeling that bond or attachment to the baby because you're carrying the baby inside of you. And I know my answer is probably similar to yours, which I'll let you share yours and I'll say my reasoning because I thought of surrogacy myself before to help another family. And I think it's just an incredible thing because I think that big picture wise, that's what you focus on. But what is your own experience if you've gotten that question or just now thinking of it?
Yeah. Well, I have to just revert back to the fact that it was something that I've been wanting to do for years. Mm-hmm. And I wanted that connection with another family that was beyond my own. And I knew that in the big picture, you know, they were just going to be so happy to complete their family. I loved being pregnant, even though I have every symptom there is, you know, the morning sickness, the migraines, the headaches, I get it all. But through that, I just want to be able to complete somebody's family.
That is awesome. And you know what I get from you is you are a very modest person because what you are doing is just, I think you need to be so proud of yourself. And I know you're doing it for the families and they're so appreciative, but you are just, it's an amazing thing because I know that a lot of people, like I said, in my life that have struggled to have their own babies and just being able to complete their family, you know, and kids aren't for everybody, but for those that really do want to have babies and have kids, and it's something that you think of for a lot of women, it's something they think of from the time that they're, you know, they meet their soulmate or they instantly know that they're going to be moms one day. And then sometimes when that doesn't happen, it's a shock to them, you know, and or the couple that you're talking about, the gay couple, like, you know, they want to have a family of their own and you were able to help them do that. And I just, I don't have words besides amazing and incredible for you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Crystal, it's just, I bet you get a lot of different questions, but what are some of the most common questions when you first began this journey? You said everybody pretty much knew that you wanted to do this, but was there any questions that you had to kind of think about or you knew that you just had the answers for right away?
Well, that's kind of a little bit tricky because I'm such an introvert. I don't have that many friends. So even if I wanted to share, you know, this path that I wanted to take with surrogacy, I wouldn't really have any backlash from anybody asking me a whole bunch of questions.
I don't think you take any backlash. I think that just a lot of times people are curious as to the journey and what that looks
the
like.
The question always is just why? Why?
Which can sometimes feel a little bit like, well, why are you asking me, right? But, you know, like, I think sometimes that why comes from a curiosity of people not understanding the full picture because, I know that when I carry my little ones, of course, you feel their feet and their kicks and all of the things going on and you get that attachment. But then I thought about that. I was like, okay, if I carry for somebody else, would I be able to just focus on? And I think I would be able to because I would know that what I'm doing in the end result is giving a family their feeling complete. And I know when I had my first form and I was going to have my second, I was really scared of what if I don't give the same attention to my first form as I do with my second and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, is it too soon? Because they're only about 2 years exactly apart. So I didn't know if it was too soon. And when my second came, it was just like, my family felt more incomplete. It felt like she was always meant to be meshed into my family. And I feel like if you're carrying a little one for this family, that's what you're thinking is like, I'm going to be able to give them that feeling of now my family is complete. Now I feel whole, you know? So I think that that's the message that if someone is trying to, or you tell me, what do you think is the message for someone that is looking into surrogacy? Like if they're thinking about it, but not too sure, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I'm a very practical person. And when I think about other people wanting to be a surrogate, I think of, you know, what it is that they, what their end goal would be to, some moms will do it just because they love being pregnant. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, they can be really great at being pregnant, no morning sickness at all. And so why not? Why not just get pregnant and provide that easy, you know, journey to your family and to the other family? There's the monetary aspect of it. I know that that is one question that would float around, not specifically to me, but to other surrogates. You know, how much money you're making, or are you doing it just for the money type thing? And, you know, the money helps. It helps moms complete schooling, buy their first homes, get rid of debt. You know, but the reality is that it really shouldn't matter why you're doing it, as long as that you're doing
that's
it with
good,
love.
Yeah, I love that.
And
really it is, because I mean, first of all, I think just with the changes of in the world and everything, that a little bit more kindness goes a long way. But, you know, doing things like this out of love is just right there. It's just that's a key thing. Like, you know, and people shouldn't really worry about if people are doing it for the money part too. I mean, that's always going to be, or not always, I should say, let me correct myself. That might be the case for some, because that's what they need for a small part of it. But I'm sure it's not just the money when they go into it, you know, because there's a lot of changes your own body is going through. So there's a lot of different factors I think that you have to take in. And the fact that you have also an amazing husband who is supportive of that, because I think that that probably plays a role too, is that you need a partner who is going to be supportive of you. So that is really, and what's your husband's name, by the way? I don't want to completely leave him out here. Jeremy. Okay.
His name is Jeremy.
We'll shout out to you. So when you listen to Crystal's podcast, you can get your props completely. No, but I'm sure he's also very humble, because you guys seem like a very dynamic couple. So that's really incredible. And so you're carrying a baby right now for a family, you said?
That's right. I'm not that far along, barely
okay.
5 weeks already.
And do you feel, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss this. Do you feel those, like, morning sickness and all those changes with your, I know your body changes as a normal pregnancy, but do you get the morning sickness and all that?
Absolutely. I've gotten morning sickness with all
okay.
of every single pregnancy.
I feel for you on that too, because I had morning sickness, I think, until I was about 5 months pregnant with her, because I was just like, man, this baby does not want to let up. She, every morning at the same time on the dot, she would make sure that I knew she was still in there. So, I'm sorry if that's a silly question,
horrible.
But you know what, like, I think this is a good conversation too, because I'm learning a lot as well, and I feel like a lot of people may not know these things about what your body changes go through, and, you know, a lot of times it's a lack of understanding, and by gaining knowledge and gaining information, that's how we all can kind of grow and understand there's different families, there's different options And there's just a different way of doing things, and that's okay.
Okay, so I want to continue the conversation. When we take a quick break, we'll come back to talking about Save the Milk. So let's take a quick break and hear a word about our sponsor.
I wanted to go back a little bit to Save the Milk because we kind of I cut that short because I was so interested in learning about the surrogacy process and everything. And what else did you want to talk about Save the Milk? Because I know it grew from the Facebook group. So where is it today? Why don't you talk about that?
Yes. So because I was pumping, not being able to nurse through surrogacy, pumping became my life. You know, obviously I was working a full-time job as a paralegal, and through all of these surrogacies, and I still continued to pump at work. When for me, and I'm sure for a lot of surrogates, when you're going through surrogacy, you're constantly being checked on with the parents and doctor's appointments, and your whole life revolves around surrogacy and this baby. So when you're at the hospital and you deliver the baby and the parents eventually take their child, you know, you're like, what now? And, you know, you deliver and you have all these hormones rushing through you, and you cry happy tears. You cry because it's kind of like a breakup. You know that it's over with. And so for me, pumping became that transition into zoning out into another project, which I love projects and I love zoning out in them. So when I was pumping, I was in a lot of the Facebook groups and noticing that no matter what group I was in, moms were just having constant issues, pumping, cracked nipples, bleeding, not being able to remove their milk out properly. And so I just started picking up on some similarities and trying to figure out how to help these moms on my spare time. And I got very good at helping, and moms would refer other moms to me, and eventually the moms pushed me to start charging for my time, and then they pushed me again to actually open up my own business. And what better name than Save the Milk, which originated, you know, from trying to help moms from getting scammed. And that just created a big old little business and companies where I eventually quit my full-time job as a college-educated paralegal and started helping moms with nipples.
You know,
I always have to giggle because it's have to explain this and to people, like, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, I help moms with their nipples.
That's the best business, because that's a, I mean, like, come on, like, to say, to be able to do something that you're able to know because of your personal experience, and then you're going into and helping other moms. Mm-hmm. So, and like I said, like, there's a lot of moms, and not even new moms, moms that have multiples, you know, that still struggle with how to fit the right flange and to know if they're producing enough. And just for the record, you know, 6 to 8 wet poopy diapers are a good indicator if you are producing enough milk, because a lot of times people go to the doctor, they take their babies to the pediatrician, and then their pediatrician says, oh, well, your baby's not gaining enough weight. Well, first of all, in the first, what is it, the first week, your baby loses about 1 ounce or so, and then, or a pound, I'm sorry, a pound. Mm-hmm. And then you go back, and then they say, oh, your baby's still not gaining enough weight. I know, because this happened with my firstborn. She was about 6 pounds, so she was already tiny. And they were questioning whether I was producing enough milk. Well, research and lactation consultant and doing my own Facebook research of Facebook groups because there's tons out there. You just have to find the right ones. And KellyMom.com was my resource. Just things like that helped me to realize that, wait a minute, first of all, a lot of pediatricians are following the CDC guidelines and not the WHO guidelines, which there's a big difference. So of the weight with breast milk and formula. So just stuff to keep in mind for anybody listening is that, you know, don't always think that just because your pediatrician says one thing that it is the final say. You want to try to go to a lactation consultant or, you know, Crystal's website, Save the Milk, get resources that are going to help you to kind of identify, okay, what else can I look for that can indicate that my milk is enough for my baby? And you can nurse on one side and then transition to the other side. And if baby's not wanting to latch onto the other side, maybe they're full or maybe their latch is not deep enough. So there's just all kinds of things. And I know you know this, but there's, I think, a lot of moms that don't know where to go. So it's just, go ahead.
And the resources now are readily available online, you know, versus when I was having my first child, if it weren't for the high school, the pregnancy high school that I had gone to, I would be completely lost. And in my own personal nursing journey, I was lost. I was not able to produce enough milk past 3 months for all of my children. But I only started learning everything I know now from women on Facebook that would be posting and sharing their own experiences. So I own everything I know now to
That's
the moms
awesome. Yeah,
out
and
there.
You know, it does take a village, and I think a lot of people always want to try to do it on themselves, or they think that if I am not this, you know, quote unquote perfect mom, and I don't do it this way or that way, then, you know, I'm failing. And it's not about, you know, like, if even if, you know, you decide to stop nursing or pumping, because I did both with my first. I had to nurse and pump because she would latch on, latch off, and it was just not a good time. We would both get frustrated. I would get angry. I actually went through, a lot of people know this about my, that have listened to my podcast, I went through postpartum depression, anxiety, and it was really bad. So my bond was being affected by those emotions when I would try to nurse her. I wasn't nursing because I wanted that bond. I was nursing just to feed her. I was like, you know what? I had this stigma in my head that if I don't nurse her and I don't breastfeed her, then I'm failing as a mom. And that's not, you know, right. If you decide to transition a formula or something, or, you know, you just decide this is not for you, then that's okay. But I didn't really have anybody telling me that, you know. So it's just, I mean, I had my mom, but, like, you know, sometimes you don't want to really listen to your own mom sometimes. So, and...
And sometimes it's just so much easier to listen to
it is,
it is.
Or someone that is coming from an outside perspective, because, you know, like, when you have your family and friends, sometimes you're just like, yeah, okay. But when you go to, I mean, I'm not ashamed. I've talked about this so many times, is I go to therapy and it's helped me, you know, a lot, because I go in there full on just, talking about all my problems, and nobody's going to judge me when I leave. So, you know, but,
exactly.
I mean, as you can probably tell in this podcast, like, I'm not ashamed no more. Like, I'm pretty open now, but I wasn't always this way. I was more of an introvert growing up too. And there was a side of me that you would see and a side of me you didn't. But, you know, I think now I'm a little bit more open minded. And, you know, I had that question pop in my head when you were talking about surrogacy with carrying the babies. Did you ever go through any postpartum emotions afterwards? I know you said that you would, like, kind of that, you know, detach. like a little bit of sadness afterwards, but did you ever have to experience any like postpartum emotions that were so strong that you were like, wow, this is a lot?
I would definitely have to talk to my husband on what his experience was dealing with me. But in my eyes, I knew exactly what was going on. I knew the feelings that I was having was more hormone based. I knew that if I just focused on the positive aspects and future goals, that I could move through any type of crying fits and hysteria that I might be experiencing. But like I said, I knew what was going on with my hormones and my body. And I knew that I just had a baby that wasn't mine, and it was okay to experience the crying that I was having momentarily, but no actual postpartum depression. Which actually would be a disqualifier for some clinics. If you have postpartum depression, it's not advised to carry as a surrogate.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, because I thought about that, you know, because I went through the postpartum depression anxiety real bad with my first, and then with my second, it was more anxiety. And just like I couldn't have her away from me kind of thing, because she had some breathing issues when she was first born. She almost went to the NICU. So I just had two different traumatic birth experiences with both of them. So I was like, I don't know. That's where that pause button came in for me whenever I would think about surrogacy, because like I said, there's some family members that I know want to have one of friends, and I told my husband one day, I was like, you know, I think I'd be okay with carrying a baby for them, because, you know, like, I really want them to be able to, if that's what they want, you know, I want them to be able to complete their family. And my husband's more kind of like, I don't know, you know, but yeah, because he's like, I don't know, I saw both the births with the girls, and maybe that's something maybe you should reconsider. So, but you know, it is for, I think it's not for everybody, but those that can really do it, like yourself, that is really incredible journey. And I think that there is going to be some times where you cry afterwards, and that's okay, you know, it's not all normal.
Absolutely. Yeah, what I tell people is, you know, if you're considering being a surrogate, do your research and know that there's going to be a lot of hoops that you're going to have to jump through, and, you know, psychological evaluations. You're going to have to pass a criminal background check. You have to be mentally, emotionally prepared to carry a child and take a lot of medications, including doing your own injections and shots. And you're going to be pumped full of hormones. And it's a year of your life, sometimes even more, if you do connect with a family and you don't have a successful embryo transfer, that could set you back months. So it's a lot of dedication. It's something that you have to have support, and that could be a significant other or a best friend, but you do have to have at least one good support system. And for me, that was my husband. And so far, like I said, surrogacy changed my life in so many ways that I have nothing but positive things to say about it. I love spreading the word of how surrogacy is such a beautiful thing and can do amazing things for not only the family that you're helping, but in your own.
That's beautiful. And you know what? Like, I think that it is really going to be something, even though, you know, there's going to be a time and a point that maybe you don't keep continuing to carry a baby for a family, that is going to still continue to bless you in ways that you know, I mean, maybe years later you'll hear from a family that's like, oh my gosh, I just wanted to reach out to you, Crystal, because XYZ, you know? So,
Yeah, no, absolutely. I get monthly updates from the families that I've helped. So it's a joy. It's an extended part of my family and something that I never thought I would even have when I was younger. These connections that I've made with throughout surrogacy and in the breast milk community is just outstanding. And when I take a step back and just look at everything that has transpired because of this, I'm just amazed.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I'm just so amazed.
And you got more synonyms for awesome and incredible, but it just keeps popping my head of how amazing this journey that you've been on. And you know, while you were talking, I pulled a card for you, because those who have listened to my podcast, I kind of started this podcast just talking about my postpartum experience and about Hello Gorgeous Mama and how that came to fruition with my firstborn. And now it's kind of transitioned into this Hello Gorgeous Soul Mama, SOUL, because I feel called to do this spiritual life purpose coaching and mentoring. And I've been told eventually I'll do healing, like in form of probably what's called I can't the word for it, but a lot of people here in the U.S. call it Reiki, where it's called Reiki. Yeah. So it's a different form of it, but I'm learning that, and I'm just learning about the emotion code, which is about releasing trapped emotions from just even inner childhood and just being able to let those go. And part of it is also getting intuitive. Sorry if you hear my daughter laughing in the background. She was crying a minute ago, so laughing's better than crying. But
absolutely.
But I get intuitive messages as well, and I also use my angel cards and oracle deck that is of love and light always. So anyways, let me get to, I'm going to kind of wrap this up by giving you a card read, and I think it's funny, the card that I got for you is called Birthing a New Age. Literally. So birthing new creations, dreaming a new world into being. So with this card, it is really coming up that sometimes you're on a path that you don't feel you're prepared to walk, but it's calling you to walk it anyways. And I pulled it for your business. And your business is a lot like your life purpose as well, because it's something that is fulfilling you and bringing you joy. And often our creations seem to have a wild, uncontrollable conscience of their own, birth them anyways. So just keep calling you to stop doubting anything that you feel like, say the milk, maybe you weren't sure of, surrogacy, you knew, but for like things that you're not too sure of, but that are going to benefit and help others, and especially a lot of moms, and from your own experiences, is calling you to just keep going with it, keep doing it, because you're already doing it. Often what is ours to do is the very thing that most intimidates us. So be courageous and do it anyway. So this is just kind of like, I want you to think about when you think of this card, is that you're open to surrendering to the creations that are wanting to be birthed through me. May I be of service in a way that delights my mind, body, and soul. Please use me, please lead me, and please show me the way. So that is really, I feel like, in tuned with everything that we've been talking about, and I don't think I could have drew a better card for you right now. it's literally dreaming a new world into being. So it's time to give permission and space for what is beckoning within to be born. We are dreaming a new world into being. So you're very much helping to create this like heaven on earth kind of experience for a lot of people. And again, I feel like I got from you that you are very humble and modest person. And I know you said you're introvert a lot. So it's just calling you mostly to just step into who you are and be that person, because, and give yourself credit a little bit of knowing that you are doing great things for a lot of families and a lot of moms. So I encourage anybody listening to seriously look up Save the Milk. And do you, is it just SaveTheMilk.com that they can find you?
That's right. Super simple, SaveTheMilk.com. And everything that you're saying is just, my heart is palpitating because I definitely think that you portrayed me in a bubble. And, you know, yes, you are right. I am humble. I am shy. I don't like to talk about myself a lot, but what I found with Save the Milk is just a profound community of moms that I am able to help in just the tiniest little way. And I know, just like surrogacy, it's just this one act that can help them profoundly. And it excites me to know and share that with everybody that's listening.
And I
how
feel that.
Much I just love, I love it.
I feel that. Yeah, I feel the joy coming from your voice when you talk about it. You know, you can really tell when someone is passionate about something that they're, and that is pretty much screaming at you, this is your calling, this is what you're supposed to do. You know, when you feel that passion radiate, and that is when you step out of your shell, because that really is what you're doing right now. Is you maybe have this little bit of this wall up that you're not too sure of how much I want to say or how much I want to do, but then when you open yourself, it's like, you know, a flower blooming. You know, and people feel that, and I think that, you know, you will start to see that more when you talk to people, how they start to blossom as well. So, you know, just keep doing that. And that's what I really am feeling for you right now, is just your spirit guides are with you along the way. And I know this is something that you hadn't always been able to fully encompass. And now you're tuning in more to your spiritual part of you, you know, so.
Yes, thank you so much.
Of course.
For your help in that process.
Oh, I love that. And thank you. And, you know, and that's been me too, as I keep doubting, like, should I say this or should I tell this person this, you know? And so far, in just like probably a month or so, it's been like maybe 25 to 30 reads. And I know I have family that are like probably like, what is Britt doing? What is she calling her spiritual life coach? And, you know, doing readings and stuff. Like, I've never known that side of her. Well, it took a lot for me to kind of go through this roller coaster of emotions and trauma and just all these things. And I really think that with this card, Birthing a New Age, I did that with my girls, because once I had them, it kind of opened the door's box a little bit, and I had to really face a lot of demons and shadows of things that I never wanted to bring up. And then once I did, and I started letting go of all those trapped emotions and everything, it just, I don't know, like I say, a rising phoenix, like people are coming out of the ashes and rising like a phoenix. So it's
that's how I feel too. So it's exciting. Very
awesome.
Exciting.
Yeah. Well, just be assured that you are on you've been on the right journey, and you're still headed on the right journey. So, just keep doing that, and with the support of your family, you know, I feel that you and your kids are tight-knit as well, not just you and your husband, but that, you know, once this whole COVID thing kind of dies down, you guys can go back to being outdoors more and having more fun and those kind of things, more family trips and vacations. So I think that is healthy for you to also remind yourself that you're entitled to take a break every now and then, and to kind of slow down and push pause and just enjoy those moments with your own family for a little bit. So, but you're doing amazing things. And I think that you just real bask in that, like just soak in that for a little bit, you know? So,
yes.
And, you know, be proud of yourself. So, I think
I'm secretly very proud of myself. I just don't know it.
good. But I just wanted to end on that and give you that, because I just let it flow, whatever I feel I'm supposed to tell you. I've learned to stop doubting and just let it go, because afterwards a lot of times people are like, oh my gosh, how do you know that? I'm like, I don't know. And I get surprised and shocked at some of the things that come out, because I'm just like, this is my calling to talk to spirit or intuitive messages? Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad we got to connect, Crystal, and I think that we're going to very much keep going. So SaveTheMouse.com, and how else can everybody find you?
Oh, I'm on Instagram at SavingTheMilk, and just you'll find me all over Facebook. I get so many moms referring, you know, one another to me. My calendar is a little booked up, but I do my best to work in emergencies. And my email is crystal@savethemilk.com. And my telephone number is on my website. You guys are welcome to text me as well.
Awesome. Okay, so everybody, you know, even reach out to Crystal just to talk to her, because she's an awesome person. And, you know, if you need advice of any sort for saving your mouth, you can go ahead and do so with the website that she listed and the phone number. So thank you, Crystal, and I hope you have a good rest of your Sunday.
Thank you. You too.
Hey guys, if you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to leave me a rating and let me know of any feedback of what you would like to hear in future podcasts. I know I'm coming back from a long break, so I'm excited to bring some new topics to you and to show what this mama has to give back with some self-love, self-improvement, and just talking everything mompreneurship, as well as mom life and postpartum, and as well as spiritual awakening. So stay tuned. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. And this is Hello, Hello, Gorgeous Mama.